So let's be honest. I mean, this is not how we expected Easter to be a year ago. I remember I was sitting in my office there at the house. Melissa was trying to keep Beckett quiet because he was just beginning to run and to totter all over the house. And I was running the service there. I remember asking her questions from different people. How long do you think this will last? And I didn't know. So I have to admit, I didn't realize that this would be our first Sunday back for our main worship service at 10:30. Now we've gathered out in the garden. We've had morning prayers in this space. We have been as creative as we possibly could be. But the reality is that this Easter is a little different. We're tired of all this. We are tired of the masks. We are frustrated with the way things are going. We are sad and grieving for the loss of life and the fact that we continue to be separated, even as a nation, and to this point. Still, here we are, and we're at this place. You all have come here today to be a part of this, and it has not been as easy as it used to be. I kind of joked. It used to be that the farthest we had to commute was from Waco all the way to here. But no, today you had to sign up. You had to gather your stuff, make sure you had your masks and your hand sanitizer and your things in the car. Some of you are logging on right now. You had to find the passcode, the link, click on it, get everything ready, make sure that you were dressed from the top half up. You all actually had to put on pants today and come to church. But we're here, and we are grateful. We're excited. We're a little bit nervous. I think it's appropriate, though, that today's story from the Gospel of Mark is a different resurrection story. I don't know if you noticed this or not, but the text that Marcy read today, that is the end of the Gospel of Mark. It ends by saying, "So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." That's how the book of Mark ends. That's how the resurrection story ends in the Gospel of Mark. There are no stories. I know you're sitting there and you're thinking, I remember Chad has preached sermons before. There's that story about Jesus and the disciples on the road to Emmaus. There's that one I remember because it was my favorite sermon ever that Chad preached about Mary being in the garden with Jesus. Or maybe you said, I remember him preaching about a story and Jesus was with the disciples on the shore and they had breakfast. I know they had breakfast. That's true. Those come in the other Gospels. They come in Luke and in Matthew and also in the Gospel of John. But the Gospel of Mark ends in this way, with the women looking in the tomb, seeing the messenger, him sending them out, but them getting so afraid that the fear paralyzed them. And the words say that they did not tell anyone. Mark's gospel is the oldest. And I know some of you may say, well, my Bible that I look in, it has some stories at the end of it, at the end of the Gospel of Mark. That's probably true. Some of them may, but they probably have these little double bracket things on it. And if you look at the very bottom in that very tiny print that I'm learning, I have to use a magnifying glass or an extra set of readers to read. But in the bottom, it says alternate endings or first ending or second ending to the Gospel of Mark. Those were added later on. We recognize that the Gospel of Mark was written just about 20 years after the death of Jesus, and it ended with women afraid. It was later on in history, later on down the road, that a scribe, a monk, that was transcribing the book to another one. That's how they used to make copies. You didn't use a Xerox back then. You actually had to handwrite things. That a monk looked down and said, you know, it needs a little something extra, and they wrote it down. when Matthew and Luke, when they went to take their stories and to place them on papyrus, they sat there with the Gospel of Mark open and probably the Gospel, what they call Q, together. And they took the stories that were in their mind and that were in these, and they placed them together. And the Gospel of John that was written by the Johannine community, this was a group that came together. They knew the stories from Matthew, from Mark, and from Luke. And they took them and they placed them together and they told them. But Mark's gospel is different. We are left with an empty tomb. And those that discovered it, so afraid. This is not one of those 30-minute sitcoms that is wrapped up by the end. This leaves us wondering, leaves us perplexed. One of my favorite movies is The Princess Bride. Hopefully you've seen it. If you haven't, you have homework. All right? But in the story, the grandfather is reading the book to his grandson, who is sick for the day. And he tells of the tales as he moves through the book about Wesley and Buttercup. And there comes to be a point where, as he tells the tale, he ends up stopping because the grandson is visibly upset. And he says, "Grandpa, wait, this isn't the way it's supposed to be." He stops him right in the middle of it. He says, "This is not the way the story is supposed to end." And that's the way that we look at this story from Mark's gospel today. The reality is, though, is that isn't this the way that life seems to go? How many of us have experienced life in which we stop for a moment and look around and think, "How did I get here? This is not the way it is supposed to be. It feels overwhelming. It feels like this is just not right." And in fact, we are afraid deep inside. And it paralyzes us. I really do appreciate Mark because I feel like as I read this, that Mark has been where we are. That he tells the story of these women in a very honest way. What are these women so afraid of as they gather at this tomb? The beginning of the story talks about how they wondered who would roll away the stone. So are they afraid that the fact that they were just talking about this and they got there and the stone has been rolled away? Is that what causes the fear? Or maybe it's the fact that when they look in expecting to see a body laying there, the body of the one that they loved and cared about, their rabbi, their teacher, their leader, that they find a messenger, an angel dressed in white, glowing and giving them instructions. Maybe that's what's so scary. Or maybe it's the fact that all of the things that Jesus had told them about what was going to happen were beginning to come true. And all the things started falling into place and it was overwhelming, so much that they couldn't talk. Or maybe just the fact that they saw that this tomb was empty and they realized that God could not be held down. God could not be controlled. God could not even be destroyed by death. That God's love would stretch from there on out. It is okay for the women to be afraid. It is okay for us to be afraid in these places of life. The thing is, we all know that we cannot be controlled by this fear. Our call today and every day is that the story remains unfinished. And we recognize that within Jesus' ministry, throughout all of Mark, he is gathering people, followers, people to watch what he does so that when the time comes, we can move forward with the story, with the gospel, and tell others. And now is the time. Now is our moment to step forward through the fear and take this story, this gospel of God's ever-present love to all humanity and to the ends of the world. This story is unfinished. Now, since we're being honest, since we're engaged in a text that is raw and there, I have to tell you something. That when I feel afraid, I generally don't step forward. When I feel afraid, that's when those voices inside my head become even louder. The ones that remind me that I'm not good enough. The ones that remind me that I'm not enough for this role, that they have called the wrong person for this. Those are the voices that are the loudest whenever I'm afraid. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted so badly to dive from the diving board, the big one, the 10-meter one. I remember climbing up the stairs and going to the very edge of the dive of that platform. And I put my toes right on the edge and I looked over. And all of a sudden, what welled up inside me was not the courage to dive, but that my knees started to shake a little bit. And my gut started to turn. And my head started to go through all of the different scenarios that when I began to fall, I would then spread eagle and belly flop and have this red from the top to the bottom. I started then playing through that then I couldn't catch my breath. I would sink to the bottom of the pool and I would die right then and there. That I had forgotten how to swim. And I wanted to take and to go backwards from the edge. That's what fear can do. And I think Mark leaves it at that place to remind us that now is our turn. The messenger says that we're to meet Jesus in Galilee. Now, Galilee is a place, but Galilee is a region. And I don't know, that'd be like saying, I'll meet you in Ohio. The reason that the messenger says Galilee and the reason that Mark tells it the way that it is lends this to us. If you remember back to the very beginnings when we talked about Mark's gospel earlier on this year, the beginning of the story says that Jesus was in Galilee preaching the gospel. And that we realize that it is our turn to continue the story, to go back into Galilee, which is the furthest part of the world, go into the world and share the stories that we have heard from Jesus, that we are to tell the tales that we know now, that we share what has gone on inside of us, even outside, even through our fears, stepping forward and going with honesty, with integrity, and with authenticity, sharing what has been shared with us. This is our call. This is our invitation. May we continue with the story and move forward together, no matter if we are here or spread out around the world. Let us take the gospel this day. Happy Easter. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.
Thank you for listening to the White Oak Pond Christian Church podcast. We hope that it's been a blessing to you this day. White Oak Pond seeks to be a place where we accept one person at a time to Christ's never-ending and forgiving love. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so that you can receive sermons each and every week. And also rate us. It really helps. Thank you again, and may you know joy in powerful ways this week.